Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Today we do conclude our sermon series on the miracles of Lent. And so the focus is upon Matthew chapter 27, verse 54, which reads, "When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Roman soldiers, notorious, powerful, efficient, effective, cruel, harsh. Roman soldiers. These men themselves used to inspire fear and dread in men and women throughout the Roman Empire. They were experts in battle tactics. They were relentless in campaigns to devastate foreign armies. They were masters at causing immense levels of pain for extended lengths of time. The Romans were responsible for refining the form of capital punishment known as crucifixion, which was common in the time of our Lord Jesus and would be the method of his death. For this and other reasons already referred to, the Roman soldiers were feared and hated by many. It was these Roman soldiers, led by their centurion, who were the ones who whipped Jesus to within an inch of his life. These very soldiers mocked Jesus as they dressed him up as king. They had no doubt in their occupation as soldiers in foreign lands been involved in punishing and crucifying known criminals. Perhaps even in the past, some may have been popular. But most likely, none of these men had had the privilege of beating a king and nailing him to a cross. What they saw with their own eyes in the midst of performing their vicious duties was this Jesus not lift a finger or his voice in his own defense. He remained silent as a sheep is silent before her shears. When he did at last open his lips to speak, the nails had already been hammered through his wrists and feet. And the words that spewed forth from his lips were not of hatred or of rage. They were peculiar, strange to the ears of these Roman soldiers. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Having finished their task of crucifixion, the boring part now began, waiting for death. They were used to the cries of pain and of despair from those whom they crucified. It was a natural part of this process, and those cries continued to go ignored. These soldiers had been through all of this before, but it wasn't quite the same this time. This Jesus wasn't like a normal criminal. He wasn't like a normal reviler of their most holy Rome. He did not utter threats as they beat him. He did not beg for mercy. He actually prayed to his Father to forgive them. And this Jesus had actually drawn great crowds of people to surround him at the moment of his crucifixion. as recorded by St. Luke. Such crowds gathered around a crucifixion were pretty well unusual. Now, there would always be some who would love to come out and behold the justice of Roman capital punishment. There were always those who passed by a scene of crucifixion on their way in and out of a great city. There were never quite this many people before. For the Roman soldiers and their centurion, the strangeness continued. Around noon, darkness covered the land. It wasn't a passing cloud. It was not an eclipse. This darkness lasted a solid 3 hours in the middle of the day. No sunshine, just darkness. That had never happened at a crucifixion before. Jesus, from the cross, continued to utter statements, but never out of hatred or caused by the agony of his wounds. After about 3 hours of the darkness, Jesus cried out again from the cross to his Father, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Immediately after, he dropped his head and did not take another breath, did not make another sound. He was dead on the cross. Silence then fell over the crowd until the earthquake then shook the entire land. The boulders all around that surrounding hillside could be heard being torn apart as no one had ever heard before. Light then began to shine once again upon the scene. None of this had ever happened before at a crucifixion or any moment in time, nor would it ever happen again. One man's crucifixion, bringing total darkness, a massive earthquake, and the tearing apart of rocks, was strange indeed. Only one statement would do to properly explain these strange phenomena. And that statement came from the Roman soldiers and their centurion. Truly, this man was the Son of God. These men, these pagan, hated, unclean, Gentile men, uttered and believed to be true what the Jewish leaders hated and thus did not believe to be true. Faith in Jesus as the Son of God came to those least expected to believe. Working through their eyes, which had seen Jesus' death, which had witnessed the earthquake and the breaking apart of the rocks, and working through their ears, which had heard the words of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit brought these men to faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And St. Matthew records it as such so that we believe it to be true. The death of Jesus, this whole entire scene, worked faith in the hearts of even those considered to be the worst of sinners. A miraculous faith indeed. And the wonderful truth of all of this is that all saving faith is miraculous. All sinners, from Adam to us and beyond, are just as cold and as dead to God as those Roman soldiers. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All are born dead in trespasses and sins, and are truly enemies of God. All deserve the full cup of God's wrath for sin, from the newly conceived to the eldest on earth. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way. That is the broad, sweeping reality of God's perfect justice. Thanks be to God that there is also a broad, sweeping reality of God's perfect love. That love is seen only and most pointedly in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, on the cross. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul? This selfless act of love by the Son of God has won the forgiveness of all sin, so that all are now justified freely by his grace. And the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity, has worked in you through that word and through the sacraments to believe that blessed and eternal truth. And so, with those Roman soldiers, we humbly stand in awe of Jesus and him crucified. That cross of Jesus, with Jesus on it, is ever before our eyes as Christians, lest we forget or we take lightly all that he has done for us. We boldly proclaim him to be the Son of God, and he, that Son of God, graciously comes then to us when his word is read, when it is proclaimed, when his sacraments are given to his people. The fact that we believe in Jesus as our Savior is nothing other than miraculous. We cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. For no one can believe that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, then, is within each of you, sustaining you, holding you up by the gospel and the Lord's Supper, sustaining you in that faith given to you in baptism, sustaining you in the faith that Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, is Lord and Savior. Miraculous indeed. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.